Have you ever wondered what it's like to play the game of curling? It's a very popular sport with global support and following, tournaments taking place all over the country here in the UK and abroad. But if you are blind or partially sighted or have a disability, a charity in Scotland has brought curling into its fold, Scottish Disability Golf Partnership. It's who we normally chat to with Jim Gales. But today, it's not golf, it's a little bit more on the curling side of things. And Jim joins us now.
Good stuff, thanks very much, Al.
Where did the idea come from to sort of bring curling into the fold?
Yeah, in the past sort of 4 years, maybe five, we've been running two parallel charities, the Scottish Disability Golf Partnership, as was, and the Disabled Curlers Scotland. And roughly speaking, for 6 months of the year, we ran competitions outdoors in the grass, and then it switched off, obviously, when the weather turned a little inclement in Scotland, and we moved over to the ice indoors on the curling side of things. And broadly speaking, the two charities had similar trustees and organisers. They got to the stage sort of late last year. We thought, you know, this is potentially a good move to bring everything under one umbrella, create the new charity, as it was, or a new name for the charity. Then for 6 months of the year, we do the golf, 6 months we do the curling. Everything's run under one group, one organisation, one set of volunteers, because we're a volunteer organisation. There's a little bit of an overlap, obviously, when the golf and the curling, and we'll combine those events now, and we've called those sticks and stones events. We've got the sticks, obviously, with the golf, and the stones with the curling. I mean, there's a large amount of our members who, before we even came up with this idea, they golfed during the summer and curled during the winter, when the chance of getting indoors or onto the ice, and probably slightly warmer than it is outside in the Scottish winter, was the chance to play both sports.
You went to Canada to play over there, and I would imagine Canada, it's a very big sport over there for disabled people.
Yeah, it's huge. The biggest problem they've got in Canada is obviously the distance to get to competitions and such. So there's a lot of local groups in the various places. It's very, very strong in the East Coast and the West Coast. There's a big Western Canadian Championships. It is huge, and we've been lucky enough that we've taken teams across to the Western Canadians and competed alongside those guys. They are very good, by the way. And this time last year, we went across to Canada to start off this inaugural match, an international competition between pan-disabled groups and ourselves.
So you've got the curling running in Scotland. Tell me about the game itself then, from, say, a visually impaired person's point of view, someone who's blind or partially sighted then. How would they play?
Okay, well, I can use myself as an example for that. What we do is I've still got light perception. So the curling sheet, if you like, it's exactly the same at either end. And because you're delivering from one set point each time, sliding the stone along the ice, obviously with the assistance of a sighted guide, but not only for guidance, but for safety as well, because it can be a little bit slippy out there, so we have grippers and such like to wear. But it's exactly the same distance every single time, so it all comes down to touch and feel of the ice, feel of the stone, the weight of the stone. Deliveries can be different. Some people deliver from the hack, like myself, and I slide the stone from, hopefully, in towards the house. Some people stand up and use a cue or a stick, which attaches just onto the top of the stone, and they deliver that way if they have a little bit of difficulty bending down and such like. So there's lots of different opportunities, different ways of playing the game, and it's certainly not a barrier, having a blind or being blind or having a vision impairment, to competing and playing regularly in the sport.
What about growth then in Scotland and indeed the UK? What's the kind of the possibilities for expansion then?
Well, now that we're together with the golf, obviously we've got access to the golfing membership, and we can advertise this quite extensively. The past 5 years before we merged, it's been fairly steady. It's not been massive jumps in membership. You know, you'll get a couple of dozen join in each season, because the season tends to run between the end of September and the beginning of April each year, and then nothing after that. It closes down, so it gets a little bit difficult to attract new members when there's nothing happening out on the ice. So now that we've got the two together, we'll hopefully expand and bring in more people all the time. And thankfully, we've got some very good sponsors in the curling side of things, so we've been able to provide curling equipment like the cubes, like the drippers for the ice and things like that, and give everybody the chance to get out there and play. With the connections with Canada, obviously that spreads the word. They've got a lot more blind and vision impaired curlers than we have over here at the moment. So, advertising, word of mouth, and getting it out there on the website and such like as well.
When it comes to playing then, I mean, we've spoken to you before, Jim, about the golf and, you know, why you love playing it or why it frustrates you, but you keep going back out. So what's the story with curling then? Why did you decide to get involved in it and what do you like about it?
Actually, it was a guy that I met many, many years ago. We were actually at a hotel at Kinross and never knew anything or any, you know, nothing at all. And the guy was vision impaired himself and he said, come and give it a go. At that particular time, I was waiting to go into a meeting, I think, and I said, well, we've got an hour to spare, let's go and have a go. I think a lot of it comes down to your teammates, the people who are there, who have the experience, who have similar, you know, sight problems and things like that, and you can relate to that. It was purely by chance that I got involved, but it was a game that I found that I could easily adapt to, and because it's measured every time, you know, you don't have to have huge strength. There's no real difference between lady and gentleman curlers. It's not a massive strength thing. It's down to the touch and eventually, hopefully, a little bit of skill.
People have never sent the stone down the ice then. Are there opportunities for them to come along and try it for the first time? How do you sort of set up days or taster days?
Yeah, what we're going to do is actually base it around the golf structure that we have, and what we're going to do is provide coaching and tuition over the season, the curling season, and get them introduced first of all, and see if they like the game. You know, that you could come along and just not like the game, as with any other sport. Get that little bit of tuition, maybe two or three lessons over a week, couple of weeks, things like that, and then bring them on and play just a small competition between four or five people. Get them involved gradually. And then move up onto competition. So there's a buzzword these days, is there's a pathway for individuals to follow. There's no age restriction either. Our youngest is about 7, I think, at the moment. Our oldest is 87. So there's plenty of scope there, even for you and I, Alan.
Fantastic, yes. I'll be at the younger end of the scale, though,
of course, Jim.
Yes. In the meantime, though, if people would like to learn more about it, how did they get in touch with you, or indeed the golf as well?
Yeah, well, everything for the golf and the curling now is based around the website. We've got all our social media links on there, the emails, the telephone, etc. is all there. And the new domain name for that is all the W's, scottishdgc.org.uk.
Fantastic. Jim, let's hope more people do get involved, and no doubt we'll speak again very soon. But for the moment, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Alan.